time to get busy.
Like we always do about this time.
Jonathan Hood.
Offside!
On ESPN 1000.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
He was going the right way! Cohen, all the way! Touchdown, Chicago!
There won't be some Rams renaissance with this Bears team. That's just not happening. Even with Mitch Trubisky, you may have the jersey, but you don't know what that guy really is.
To market it, to answer. Come on.
Oh, bang, bang, bang. Sriracha.
Joseph Sikora.
I think I saw you in a commercial with Michael Jordan. Were you with Jordan?
With Michael Jordan, yeah.
What was your line in that commercial?
It is Michael Jordan.
That's all you had.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means.
A Louisiana couple is accused of attempting to rob an Uber driver
under the hood
that the woman distracted by being topless.
With Jonathan Hood.
I got an engine underneath my hood.
Oh, it's a topless woman. Oh, I'm totally distracted now.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Hour number two, it's Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. We are here till 9 o'clock tonight to talk football with you at 312-332-3776. It's wild card weekend in the NFL. And Abdallah, we start this hour with this question. If you take all the teams, the eight teams playing on wild card weekend, what team would you put your money on to win the Super Bowl? Of the eight teams that we will see this weekend, which team would you vote for? Would it be the Texans hosting the Bills, a 10-6 team, a wild card team? Would it be the Patriots, the 12-4 Patriots? I think there's an obvious answer, and it'd be the 13-3 Saints.
Yeah, it's the Saints.
Well, yeah. That's the end of the discussion. You wouldn't go anywhere else.
Russell
Wilson getting hot, taking the Seahawks on the road.
Nah,
seen him do it before.
I think they lose this weekend against Philly. Like,
what about Carson Wentz magic? You got the Philly magic going.
Nah, that runs. The problem is,
oh, it's because Nick Foles isn't there. Is that why?
The problem is that I don't see any of these teams being able to beat any teams that have a bye this week except for the Saints. So when you look to next weekend and you've got, you know, the 49ers or the Packers, and then you've got the Chiefs and the Ravens, I don't think any of these teams have a chance at beating the next team they'd face except for the Saints. I think the Saints have the realistic shot of going in and beating whatever team they face in the NFC. So I think that, to me, that's the only reason. They have the right mix of offense and defense, too. If you look at DVOA, they have the closest numbers. They have the fourth best offense and the 11th best defense, according to DVOA. That's the right mix. Like, there's too much of a differential between, you know, you've got number one again, and then number 11 for New England. You've got, you know, Houston has the 26th ranked defense in according to DVOA. That's not going to get it done. So if you look at these offenses and you look at the comparing them to defenses, the Saints have the right mix. And they also have the firepower. New England has a good mix as well on offense with Tom Brady, but ultimately he doesn't have enough weapons, and I don't think they have enough firepower if they need to keep up with the Ravens or to keep up with the Chiefs. That's why I picked the Saints, because even if they get into a shootout with, let's say, the Packers or the 49ers or someone, they're going to have to, they can withstand a shootout because of Drew Brees.
You know, if you're looking at the analytics, Football Outsiders gives you the DVOA stats, and the Patriots and the Saints, the Patriots are the number three ranked overall team in DVOA at the end of the regular season. The Saints are the fourth ranked DVOA team in all of football at the end of the regular season. The problem is the Patriots haven't looked like the Patriots that they were at the start of the season. It's a cumulative stat for the entire season, and the Patriots haven't looked like the great dominating team that we saw early in the year. So even though they're ranked third overall and they're playing on wild card weekend, I don't have the same trust in the Patriots as I do with the Saints, like you're describing, because it's not only the offense. Their defense is almost top 10, and their special teams are third overall. So I think the Saints are definitely the team that I would place there. I think then you look at New England. then you're maybe looking at the Seahawks. Do you trust the Seahawks to get it done, even though they have to go on the road to play the Eagles to open up? With the Seahawks are the 8th overall ranked team in DVOA. That's kind of what we're looking at here. What do you think? What team would you have to pick if you look at Wild Card Weekend and teams that can win the Super Bowl? Because, you know, the NFL isn't always given that the higher seeds are the seeds that move on to the Super Bowl. We've seen it kind of as of late, the higher seeds do get there. But you do see the wild card teams. You see teams that go on the road in the playoffs winning games. It's not just a given that the higher seeds automatically get to the Super Bowl. And so I think you have to look at the conversation between Patriots, Saints, Seahawks. I'm surprised that, like, the Texans are not more of a team that are talked about. They have a quarterback for some part of the season, was in the conversation for the MVP in Deshaun Watson. He's a player who can take over a game. Offensively, they rank 17th. It's their defense, ranked 26th. But overall, they're 19th. So is that just, are they a product of being in a division that just isn't that good, and they won that division, they were able to stack the wins, and that's why they're hosting a home playoff game? Is that why they are where they're at?
Well, they're one of the teams that beat the Patriots this year. And if you look at them, you know, Will Ferrell's...
And that was a very impressive game. And Deshaun Watson was awesome in that contest.
Yeah, I think it's just been the games that they've played this year. You know, if you go through the season, they start the season with a loss to the Saints. All of their games, they haven't had a lot. I know it's the NFL, you don't have a lot of blowouts, but they haven't had a lot of blowout wins. You know, they beat, their last win came against the Bucks, where they went down to Tampa and they won 23-20. Before that, they beat the Titans 24-21. They haven't had a lot of convincing wins. Their most convincing win was against the Jaguars. They won 26-3. That was 2 months ago against the Jaguars. And after that, you know, that game right after that Jaguars win, they lost 41-7 to the Ravens. So if you look at their schedule, they haven't really had a big convincing win. Early in the season, they beat the Falcons are hot garbage. They beat the Falcons 53-32 in the fifth week of the season. So they've had two really convincing wins, one against a garbage team. So it's hard to pick them when, even if you look at the metrics, like you mentioned, 26th in defensive DVOA, 17th in offensive DVOA. They're 5th in special teams. So look for maybe some special teams magic this weekend, just saying. But they're 19th overall in DVOA. That's usually a good metric once you get this deep into the season into the playoffs. That's a very good metric to go by, because the cream always rises to the top in these matchups and in the playoffs. This seems like the team that if there could be a potential blowout, there's two games that could be potential blowouts. It's this game, and then it's the Saints game, because the spread is so high. Vegas doesn't seem too keen on the Vikings. And you look at the Saints, it might be close early, but the Vikings have a lot of injuries. We just talked to Matt Williamson about it. It just seems like the Saints are poised at home to run away with that game against the Vikings.
So Buffalo at the Texans, that game is the early game tomorrow, 3:35 Central Time. That game's on ESPN and ABC. This is a fun matchup to me, because you went through all the different schedule stuff with the Houston Texans, and I've enjoyed watching the Buffalo Bills this season. They, to me, are the classic team that is too good too soon, and they're not necessarily ready for the limelight, because they win with defense. They have a young quarterback. They win a lot of close games. They remind me a lot of Bears teams in the past that get to the first round of the playoffs and then they fizzle out. And I think that's why I've enjoyed watching Buffalo. I know the game that really kind of highlighted their arrival to being a real playoff contender this season was on Christmas Day when they went to Dallas and they beat up on the Cowboys, and Josh Allen looked really good in that contest. So I'm really looking forward to this first matchup, the Texans and the Bills. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about the Texans, how they're not thinking about last year, the loss in the playoffs. And the Buffalo Bills, this year, they're only looking ahead at the game on Saturday.
Everything's been about Buffalo. You know, this isn't about last year, 2 years ago, 1993. It's not about any of that. This is about Saturday at 3:25 for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, however long it takes. Who can be the team that can execute at the highest level the most consistently throughout the game? That's what it's about. I think it's all about really focused on Buffalo and what they do, because if you start focusing on anything else, you're going to be in trouble.
All right, so that's Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Texans. Is there anything more football guy response than the answer that Bill O'Brien gave there?
That's such a nothing response. I'll give you some real numbers.
I feel like we need to hear from Bill O'Brien again. Like, think to yourself in your head, count all the different cliche and nonsensical things that he says here that are just words and just football guy things. Here it is.
Everything's been about Buffalo. You know, this isn't about last year, 2 years ago, 1993. It's not about any of that. This is about Saturday at 3:25 for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, however long it takes. Who can be the team that can execute at the highest level the most consistently throughout the game? That's what it's about. I think it's all about really focused on Buffalo and what they do, because if you start focusing on anything else, you're going to be in trouble.
I'm glad he knows when the game is. That's nice.
And I'm glad he gave us a good window, too. I know I'm either going to be sitting down for 3 to 3.5 hours, usually, with commercials. It is a national game. It's a big game. It's a playoff game. Probably a lot of extra commercials in that game. But I don't want to focus those. I just want to focus on the Bills.
It's pretty amazing. Obviously, the quarterback matchup, Deshaun Watson is the better quarterback.
Yeah.
He has the better wide receivers. Will Fuller, whether or not he plays in this contest, will be noteworthy as we get ready for it. Also, with Josh Allen, he's known to run the football, right? So, like, if the Texans can somehow limit him running the football through the air, can Josh Allen beat the Texans, score enough points to get the Bills to what? I mean, the over-under's at 43.5, right, for this game. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the Bills probably to win would have to score 24 to 27 points. Would that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But the Bills, or the Texans, have allowed the second most rushing yards per to quarterbacks, most yards per rush to quarterbacks this season. So they haven't been able to contain quarterbacks well. And Josh Allen, like you mentioned, does use his legs a lot. It'll be interesting to see what Deshaun Watson's able to do against this defense, because they limit the quarterback rushing yards per attempt, and they're very good against big plays. And so that's kind of what Houston thrives on, is Deshaun Watson running over the big play, and they seem to be limit both those things. Josh Allen's also 10-6-1 against the spread in his career as an underdog, where Deshaun Watson's 1-5-1 as a favorite.
If you care about special team numbers, the Buffalo Bills and the Texans are by far the better special teams team.
Mm-hmm.
In DVOA, the Texans rank 5th overall. Mm-hmm. In special teams DVOA, and the Buffalo Bills are 21st. So it's something to keep your eyes on. In the later game on Saturday, the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots, that game's on CBS at 7:15. And really, the storylines that you look at heading into this contest, obviously, the dynasty, what we've seen from the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the great football excellence we've seen from them over the years, and the fact that whenever they have time to prepare, they're always the more prepared team than whoever they're playing. And can Tennessee, heading in with a very hot offense and a quarterback that has really revitalized his career, can they go to Foxborough and can they knock off Tom Brady and this team, the Patriots, that have done such great things at home in the playoffs?
I don't know what Tannehill has taken this season. Like, he's... I don't know if it's the new system, if it's him just having a crazy season. He's averaged 9.6 yards per pass attempt this season, 5th highest rate in a season in NFL history.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's got the Space Jam special stuff or whatever he's got, but dude is doing something magical. And you would have to think that it continues against a team like the Patriots, who haven't really looked like themselves. But this is the number one ranked defense according to DVOA. They have been a great defensive team all season. They're plus 21 in the turnover margin this season. They are a phenomenal defense. That's how they have to rely on. You have to be able to limit the big play from Ryan Tannehill, and you have to be able to get your arms around Derrick Henry the entire game, because they're going to just run at you the entire game, and it's going to wear on this front seven. It's going to wear on this defensive line, and whether or not they can do it for the entire game, it's going to be wet, it's going to be rainy, it's going to be a winter storm warning and watch and all that good stuff out there, so it's going to be slippery. It's going to be a matter of I sound like Bill O'Brien. It's going to be which team makes the least amount of
mistakes.
Everything's
been about Buffalo.
Yeah,
okay. You know, this isn't about last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's the least amount of
mistakes. 3 hours, 3.5 hours. It's on Saturday. We know what time the game is.
It's the least amount of mistakes. That's football cliche to say. But ultimately, when you have the number one ranked defense and a really good offense this year, Tennessee was the sixth ranked offense according to DVOA. It's going to come down to a couple plays in which teams make the least amount of mistakes on those plays. And it could be a missed tackle on Derrick Henry that converts a third down that leads to a touchdown. It could be a long throw from Tannehill that leads to a touchdown. And one of those things, this could be a low-scoring game. This is probably going to be a low-scoring game. The total's 44, especially with the weather and how these teams like to control the clock. And I think that because of that, it's going to be a one or two play game that kind of decides this thing.
Yeah, Titans and the Patriots. The Titans offense is their best unit of football, and the Patriots, it's their defense. Abdallah said the Titans, they rank sixth in offensive DVOA. The Patriots ranked number one in the National Football League this season in defensive DVOA. And, of course, once again, the difference in special teams, the Patriots are 11th and the Titans are 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Bill Belichick's teams are always prepared, and they do all the little things throughout a game the right way to find a way to win in the end. Here's Bill Belichick talking about how the Titans will be a real challenge on Saturday night.
Closing in on the biggest game of the year, so a couple more days here of preparations to wrap things up on the Titans. But as I said, this is a really good football team. Do a lot of things well. Very, very explosive on offense. Tough group to stop. But look forward to the opportunity and the challenge. A couple more days here to wrap things up. We're going to use all our time. We need it. And I'm trying to put everything together the best that we can to be ready to go.
That's Bill Belichick. I'm Chris Bleck with Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Are you surprised we got more out of Bill Belichick than Bill O'Brien there, the sound bites that we've played so far in this segment?
No, because I know when Bill
Belichick... Everything's been about Buffalo.
When Bill Belichick speaks, it's always with a purpose, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Where I'm not saying Bill O'Brien isn't smart, but he relies on the cliche more than anybody.
If we look ahead at the games on Sunday, we're getting ready for Wild Card Weekend. Bleck and Abdallah in for Jonathan Hood tonight on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Their early game on Sunday, the Minnesota Vikings at the New Orleans Saints. It's the sixth seed against the number three seed in the NFC. That's a 12:05 game on Fox, and New Orleans is the favorite by 8 points. Woo. And really, what we, I think, have all kind of come to the conclusion of is this is the best team in this round of the playoffs, and that's the New Orleans Saints hosting the Vikings.
I know it's not just him because the NFL is a team game, but it has to be something, has to be said, that Kirk Cousins is 0-15 outright and 1-13-1 against the spread against teams that finished with at least 12 wins in a season. That's insane. Like, I know it's the team and all that kind of stuff. They're going to rely a lot on Dalvin Cook to control the clock and keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. I get that. But when you look at your quarterback and let's say it is a close game. Let's say for some reason the Vikings can keep up with the firepower of the Saints and it's close. You look at that with Kirk Cousins at the end of the game, I want no part of that whatsoever. I don't want part of it, an 8-point spread in a playoff game either. I think that's a lot of points for a playoff. If this game could get out of hand early, well, that's probably going to be in a teaser. But...
Oh, we're doing a teaser?
We always do teasers. Right. Are we not? Are we all not Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah?
Can we figure that out before 9 o'clock?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, all right.
I mean, you could always just text me tomorrow if you wanted to.
No, let's include some friends.
Okay. But yeah, this is going to be all about the Saints offense all day. And I think that they have a lot more firepower than the Vikings do. I think that their defense is better than the Vikings defense, and I think that this one might get out of hand quick.
Drew Brees on the Saints playing their best football at the end of the season.
I think mid-season we looked at ourselves offensively and we were doing some good things, but didn't feel like we were putting forth our best performances. And so the goal in looking at a lot of the little things, you know, really just the execution of our offense and kind of the standard that we've set for ourselves, felt like, you know, there was a lot of things that we could be doing better, and we wanted to, you know, continue to progress forward throughout the latter half of the season to the point where we were playing our best football going into the postseason. And I think we've made great strides from week to week. I do think we've gotten better each week. And I think the statistics would reflect that. I think the points per game would reflect that. I think just the overall execution would reflect that.
So that's Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. They host the Vikings on the noon game on Sunday. The later game on Sunday, the Seahawks at the Eagles, the fifth and the fourth seeds in the NFC. It's at 3:40 Central Time on NBC. And the Seahawks, even though they're on the road, they're the favorite by 1.5 right now heading into that matchup on Sunday.
This is the most public bet of the weekend, I believe, is Seattle -1.5. A lot of the public money coming in on the Seahawks. They believe that the 7-1 road record will continue for the Seahawks. No team prepares to play on the East Coast out of their time zone. I mean, it's not really a late game or anything. It's still technically, you know, noon body clock or whatever.
Let's discuss that for a second. We gamble on football all season long. The body clock thing is nonsense, especially with the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Like, that dude is great on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. He is like the disruptor to the thought that there's body clock or whatever people call breakfast football, because obviously they're on the Pacific time, they're Pacific Coast, and they fly across the country and they play football earlier than normal. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's the guy that's not the norm when it comes to that.
No, and as Zach Ertz is questionable for this game, you know, this is going to be Carson Wentz's first playoff game, and it's...
Since it's a 3:40 game, would it be brunch football instead of breakfast football?
I mean, not for us.
Not for us. No, for the natives of Seattle.
It's noon. Yeah, you could do a brunch. Yeah,
brunch goes till like 2, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, easily. Yeah.
All right.
You can get chicken and waffles till 2 if you want.
I mean, if you're eating brunch, if you're eating like omelets at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not brunch anymore. Now you're creeping on Brinner.
I like Brinner, though. Brinner's great.
I said nothing negative about Brinner. I'm just saying it changes. It is no longer you're at brunch. You are now at Brinner.
Anyway, I don't know.
the face you just made me, like, why would you even go down that road?
I love a good Brinner, but I don't need to debate
The Eagles and the Seahawks.
I don't know what to do about this game. Like, if I had to pick this game, this is one of the toughest games for me to pick. I think in a teaser earlier today that I made with Waddle and Sylvie and Jeff Meller, we did a show teaser.
So
and
you left me out.
I believe we took the Eagles. I don't remember right now. We didn't leave you out. You and I are going to do our own teaser, you know? It's gonna be our own thing. That's different. We took the Eagles. Yeah, we took the Eagles. So we made the Eagles +8 in our teaser, which to me seems like...
I don't like that.
What? You don't think the Eagles can cover 8? You think the Seahawks are going to win by 9 or more?
No, I just... I don't... I feel like of any of these teams... The one that is that you could point to at the end of the day and be like, that's the fraud, like that team shouldn't even be here, it would be the Eagles. Of all the teams that are in the playoffs and all the teams in this round, who is the most fraud-like team that's there? It's either the Titans or it's the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
And the Eagles are only in the playoffs because the Cowboys were trash this season.
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles really shouldn't be a playoff team. Should they? Should they be hosting a home playoff game? No, they shouldn't.
No.
So if anyone's a fraud, it's going to be the Eagles.
I
can see the argument. It could be a close game. I don't disagree with that, but I would feel like if you're telling me what's the slam dunk bet, I wouldn't go there. Like, this is going to be a close game. So, okay, fine. You tease them up. Okay. I don't know. I feel like what's more likely? The Eagles blowing out the Seahawks or the Seahawks blowing out the Eagles?
Neither. I don't know. I don't. Because
what
is,
if one happens? Which side would you rather be on?
Well, the winning side, of course. But
let's hear from Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach.
I don't think that this game is going to be blowout regardless. So having 8 points either way is fine. Here's the thing. I want 8 points. I want +8. I want the Eagles +8 because because even if you take Seattle and you take it through the number, they're going to be +5.5. I'd rather have the Eagles.
Let's hear from Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He says his team has been playing win-or-go-home football for the last month.
Oh, my God, these cliches.
I think it helps our football team. You know, it kind of galvanizes us a little bit, brings us a little bit closer together. I think it's a team. And, yeah, what we've done down the stretch, I mean, like I said, we've basically been in a playoff game every week now for the last 4. And our guys have really handled it well, obviously, and I feel like we're prepared for this stage.
So there you go. Doug Peterson, Eagles, prepared to cover Abdallah's tees, even though the Seahawks are going to blow them out.
No, they're not.
But what if they do?
I'll probably middle it with another teaser anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Chris Buck, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. More wild card conversation coming up because... I think there's a team in the AFC and the NFC that have value as far as winning the Super Bowl that we should look at coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight here on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. In a couple minutes, Abdallah, I'm going to try and convince you to make a bet with me on a team that I think can win the Super Bowl. And they have very good odds right now. So there's a specific team in the AFC that I think we should kind of look at. And I got a team in the NFC as well that we should make a bet on and kind of try and figure out if they can win the Super Bowl. Okay.
All right.
Let's go to Nick and Gurney. He called 312-332-3776. Nick, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
So I think the most interesting quarterback controversy or situation was the Raiders, because you got Gruden. He's non-committal on Derek Carr, and they're moving to Vegas. So I was wondering if they'd use maybe the Bears' first-rounder and their own first-rounder to move up into the top 10, get like a new franchise quarterback, cut ties with Derek Carr. Because when you move into a new building, you want fans in the seats. So I think a new like franchise quarterback will be that guy, because I don't think Gruden likes Carr all that much. And then another quarterback name to watch this offseason is Tyrod Taylor. He signed a 2-year deal before this previous season with the Chargers. And it all depends on if Phillip Rivers leaves or retires, and or if he stays. I think Tyrod Taylor could be a really cheap option for the Bears. I don't think he'll take a lot of like draft capital if we wanted to explore a trade for him, but I've always liked Tyrod Taylor, and I think he'd be a great fit in Aggie system.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. And the thing with Tyrod Taylor is he would probably be the number one available free agent quarterback if he was not under contract. And Nick's right. He's under contract for another year. So the Chargers have a quarterback. And there were people throughout this last season suggesting that maybe Tyrod Taylor should have been starting at points over Phillip Rivers. So you don't know that. And I think when you look at what Nick was saying about the other quarterbacks on the market and the Oakland Raiders and what they're going to do, who knows if Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback of their future. It does seem like it would be a nice spot. They're probably going to be way too good to do this, but it'd be a nice spot for someone like Trevor Lawrence to land.
Oh, yes.
Right? See, like, wouldn't that be ideal for a team moving to Las Vegas to then land the number one quarterback to be the guy, the face of the franchise?
See, that's one of the problems here of this season, right? A lot of people believe that, oh, we're the Bears. Just don't start Trubisky. Start Trubisky again, fine. You want to believe in Trubisky, just tank the season and then get Trevor Lawrence. Well, that's not going to happen. The Bears have a top 10 defense. You're not going to be the worst team in the NFL with a top 10 defense. And with a quarterback who can win you 8 games. Like, this is this is probably Trubisky's floor, right? Like, I don't think it can get any worse right now. Like, I think Nagy's a good enough coach, and I think they have enough weapons, and the defense is good enough where 8-8, maybe 7-9 could be the floor, right? They're never going to be in a position where, unless like a bunch of guys get hurt early in the season, that they're going to have the first pick in the draft. So saying that, oh, let's just get Trevor Lawrence, that's not a realistic option. Same with the Raiders. What the Raiders have set up with John Gruden, people laughed at it, but they're not horrible. They're not going to be bad enough to have the number one pick. So ultimately, yeah, everybody wants Trevor Lawrence. Of course they do. Unless you have like Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, like you want Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen because teams don't. It's hard to be the worst team in the NFL. Like, it's hard. Like, the Dolphins tried and failed. And like, the Bengals tried and couldn't get out of their own way at a couple points.
The Dolphins like half committed to it, and then they realized like, hey, we might actually have a pretty decent head coach and guys that play for him. So, oh wait, now we're winning games down the stretch. We're competitive in these games. Like, the Bengals were just terrible. Like, they it was easy for them. The Dolphins had a little fight,
but it's hard to get out of that. Once you're that bad, you can't just Trevor Lawrence. 10-win team.
Right, no, and that's why usually you see young quarterbacks struggle. Why is it? They go to bad teams. They go to bad franchises. They go to teams that don't have a good coaching staff, right? Like, all that plays into it, and it's no surprise when you get a Lamar Jackson, who goes to a great franchise with a good coaching staff and good players on both sides of the ball. And then all of a sudden in year two, Lamar Jackson is an MVP candidate. Did we think that he would be that great? No, but he was going to a perfect situation. And the lower you are in the first round, those are the teams who are better, right? And if you fall as a quarterback to those teams, you have better odds to be successful. And that's why you see so many bust out quarterbacks who go to teams second overall in the draft. And then you see in year two, you're only 8-8. See what I did there?
I see what you did.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. In for Jonathan Hood tonight on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Okay, so there's a team in the AFC that I think there's some value on because of the quarterback and because of the path they could have to get to the Super Bowl. Right now, the team with the worst odds in the AFC to win the AFC and to get to the Super Bowl, it's the Houston Texans. They're 30-1 of any of the teams in the AFC.
Oh,
30-1. Isn't that some pretty good value? If you're like, listen, couldn't you be convinced of a world where Deshaun Watson is hot for two games?
Okay.
And has a great AFC championship game and gets to the Super Bowl?
I understand your logic.
Is it really out of the realm of possibilities?
No.
Like the Bills are 30-1 as well. The Bills are not getting to the Super Bowl.
Whoa, hold up. Wait a minute.
The Bills are not going to the Super Bowl.
Why not? They have the better.
Well,
paint me
a picture.
They have a bet. I'll paint you a picture. I'll rip up your Texans picture.
Sell me that pen. Buffalo Bills pen.
First of all, I'm gonna throw your other pen into the street because then you'll need a pen. Okay.
I'm not writing anything. I'm typing.
You're working with the 26th ranked defense and the 17th ranked offense. That's not going to get it done. I'm selling you the team that is going to beat them tomorrow. The Bills are going to beat them tomorrow. So why wouldn't you go? The Bills have the same odds, and they're going to beat the Texans tomorrow.
There's something about Deshaun Watson.
Your pen's out of ink.
Well, no, I'm typing, so I don't need the pen.
Computer's stuck.
There's something about Deshaun Watson that I don't want to bet against, though.
Okay, but you don't have to. No, he's going to lose. They're going to lose. They're going to lose.
In the AFC, Tennessee is the third lowest odds at 28-1. The Patriots are 15-2. The Chiefs are 2-1. And the Baltimore Ravens are the favorite at 5-6 in the AFC. If we look at the NFC, is there a team that I can try and convince you on, a value team that's lower down in the odds to win the conference? The only option that I could make an argument for would be the team
Eagles.
On the road. No. The Seahawks who are on the road
the
at 13-1.
Are going
to
lose on Sunday. Why do you keep picking teams that are going to lose and not taking the teams that are going to beat them? What's wrong with Philly Magic?
Well, I there's nothing wrong with Philly Magic, but at
13-1.
Well, yes, the Eagles are 20-1, the Vikings are 25-1, the Seahawks are 13-1, Packers 4-1, Saints 5-2, and the favorites, the 49ers at 6-5 odds. Seahawks at 13-1, I feel like is a better play than the Eagles at 20-1, but you think the Eagles are going to win, and you said in the last segment you think they're going to win by more than 8 points, by two touchdowns, so you think the play would be the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl.
Not only that, do I believe the Eagles and the Bills to get to the Super Bowl.
With Carson Wentz and a bunch of no-name players who are playing wide receiver, and they've got guys who are quarterbacks playing wide receiver and all kinds of nonsense happening.
But a matchup of Eagles Bills, that exact matchup is 650-1 to get to the Super Bowl. That exact matchup is 650-1.
If you could have your perfect Super Bowl for this year, what would you pick?
If I had my perfect matchup?
Yeah, like what would you want to see the most?
I would want to see probably the one with the best odds, and that is Ravens 49ers.
Okay. That's fine.
Why? What's wrong with Ravens 49ers?
I would vote for the storyline.
Tom Brady?
There's an epic storyline.
Yeah.
The Patriots getting there and facing off against Jimmy Garoppolo in the final Super Bowl for the Patriots dynasty. That would be the highest rated television event of our lifetime.
The old guys would rate higher. The Saints and the Saints and Patriots would rate higher. Yes. It's the Super Bowl.
Well,
and it always rates.
Well, yes, of course. Yeah, of course. But Okay, old guys, Breeze versus Brady, all-time greats.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Come on. But the team that was hosed last year from going? Come on.
Abdallah, there's some sex appeal there. Garoppolo, charm.
Well, hold on.
The new guy on the block against Tom, terrific.
Listen, you don't need to sell me the sex appeal of Jimmy Garoppolo, okay?
So you're saying it's not the Vikings and the Bills?
It is not the Vikings and the Bills. It is not the Vikings and the Bills. It is not the... It is not the Texans and the Eagles. It is not the Titans and the Packers.
Did you see that Eddie Jackson got new money today?
He did. Roll Tide. Eddie Jackson coming out in the draft. Broken leg. Turned into a stud. Highest paid safety in the league.
We talk about it next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That one of the season, man. So sad. 2020 is ours, though. No cap. Real life. We coming 2020.
That was Eddie Jackson after the Bears' last game. Prepare for 2020. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here in for Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000, the TuneIn app. Thanks to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Thanks to Matt Williamson from the Locked On NFL podcast. He joined us earlier tonight. You can check out our podcast on ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. You can download it on the TuneIn app, Spotify, and also on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, give us some stars. Abdallah, we will be back Sunday at 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, we will be getting you ready for the wild card games on Sunday, talking Bears football with you. We'll get a little Bulls and Blackhawks in there as well as we're with you on Sunday morning from 9 to noon here on ESPN 1000.
Absolutely can't wait. We'll react to all of the two wild card Saturday games, and then we'll preview the Sunday games, talk a little gambling. Like you said, Bulls, Blackhawks, NFL, Bears, of course. Maybe some baseball if they make a move or something. You never know what's going to happen over the weekend. Crazy stuff happens.
Eddie Jackson gets new money today from the Chicago Bears. Jackson's getting a four-year, $58 million extension, according to his agency. The deal has an average annual value of $14.6 million, which includes $33 million in total guarantees, which makes him the highest-paid safety in the NFL at the moment. Why? Because Jamal Adams is still looking for a contract, mm-hmm. So probably when he gets his new paper, he will be the highest paid safety in the NFL. But Eddie Jackson signed up long-term for the Chicago Bears. That's a good move for Ryan Pace and the Bears this offseason.
Yeah, it's his only good draft pick so far, so sure, lock him up. Is it not? Is there another good draft pick? And let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Pace did a great job drafting Eddie Jackson where he did. He only fell because he had surgery before the draft on a broken leg to remove a screw that was bothering him. Okay?
Yeah.
This could have gone horribly wrong.
Could have.
But it didn't.
It didn't.
And it worked out well.
It's great.
It's the only one.
I mean, he didn't really tackle this year, but it worked out great.
That's not who he is, though. If you watch him at Alabama like I did Roll Tide.
You kind of need a guy like that in the hole sometimes when the Eagles are running wild over you.
But that's not who he...
Jordan Howard specifically?
That's not who he was. That's not who he was at Alabama. He's Nathan Vasher. He's the interceptor. That's who he is. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just who he is.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, singing in for Jonathan Hood tonight on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So, a little behind the scenes here at ESPN 1000. Abdallah, myself, Chris Black, and Sean Davis were the only ones here in the building besides the ABC 7 news crew preparing for the 10 o'clock news that you can see on ABC 7. And a little bit ago, a local hot dog establishment delivered 8 bags of food to the station because our wonderful boss has actually set up lunch for us on Monday.
On Monday.
So the delivery drop is set for Monday, and the food that they took orders by email, so we all have specific orders waiting for us, they were delivered tonight. 8 bags of local hot dog food, all sitting in the control room here. Who'd eat 30 sack lunches? We have all this food. What are we going to do with this? And unfortunately, they delivered it on the wrong day, but I feel like we have a reason why it was delivered on the wrong day.
Well, look, We've been dividing.
Your face.
We've been dividing this food up. We called Mark Giangreco and the ABC 7 news team.
They're
and
all
everyone's
trying,
coming
they're
down.
Grabbing hot dogs
and they're
and
like,
beeps,
like
and
they're grabbing everything that this place delivered, whether it's salads
cakes.
Or whatever. There's everything you could imagine.
Cheese
and it's
fries.
It's very nice
rings.
Of our new boss to get this for us.
Eight
but
bags.
It was delivered on the wrong day.
And
Chris, why was it delivered on the wrong day?
Well, I'm trying to get you to say it.
I'm not going to face that wrath.
I work Cap show, David Kaplan show, 9 to noon every day here on ESPN 1000. And from what I heard, the rumor mill says is that Cap had a very specific order. In fact, such a specific order that they don't even have it at the restaurant. And somehow he got this order attached to this order. And so he ordered something off the menu and it was part of this. And somehow that messed up the organization of delivering it on Monday.
You ordered it online. The online order was set up. When Cap's order was put in, it triggered a refresh, and it refreshed to the next possible time.
So now we have
and
eight next, bags of food!
The next possible time was like 7 o'clock tonight. And there's so much food here.
There's like six orders of onion rings in there.
If you don't have, if you guys order something, let's say uh-huh. I come over to Chris's house, right? Or our new boss is going to order us all food, and he's like, guys, I'm getting y'all ribs, and I'm like, you know what? I don't dine on swine
though.
So for me, I'm bringing a sandwich that day. I appreciate the offer. I love the offer. I'm not. Or hey, I ordered pizzas for everybody.
I
got 15 pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah.
You know what I do?
Yeah.
I don't
no,
make
thank
a stick.
You.
I just
good.
Go. I'm good. Yeah. Thank you. I don't need. You to cater to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for the offer. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So you're saying that the eight bags of food that were ordered just for you, me, and Sean, and that's all Cap's fault that was ordered tonight?
I don't know what I'm going to do with this food.
We'll talk to you on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. here on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.